You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Fosma Moon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Fosma Moon. With me, I have Scott O'Leary, Vice President of Loyalty and Product at Air Canada. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, it's so great to be here. Thanks, Foz.
It is awesome. We are just wrapping up epic trip. First of all, apologize for any background noise because we're having to record on a plane because our what was supposed
not
to be
just any plane,
not just any plane, but we'll talk about that in a second. Our hour and 20 minute connection was really like 6 minutes. So here we are. So Scott coordinated this amazing trip on Air Inuit that started on Sunday morning. And it is now Monday evening as we're wrapping it up, headed our way back to Montreal. Thoughts on the trip?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know where to start.
I know.
There was, what was the total number of segments?
I believe it was 10 segments and 9 dots.
Nine new dots, on our flight logs. That is a special treat. It's not often that you get that many power pellets in a,
no,
2 day span.
No, this was definitely a a bonus round.
That's right. It was a bonus round to be sure. But boy, let me tell you, I don't know that we fully knew what to expect coming into this. I think we've all had for those of us that are familiar with Air Inuit and have observed it from afar, it's always been very mysterious to us, very interesting airline to want to try someday. And so fortunate that we were able to secure a couple seats for this 2 day adventure up and through Nunavik. For those of you that might not know, Air Inuit recently became a partner of Aeroplan.
Okay.
And so Aeroplan is Air Inuit's loyalty program now.
Oh, okay. So not just a partner, but they're
a partner. We are their, we're very proud to be their loyalty program.
Will we see an Air Inuit branded credit card soon?
We'll have to talk to Air Inuit about that. But I will say, it started. Yeah, the partnership has started out small. Right now, you can only earn Aeroplan points for your travels on Air Inuit. But very much looking forward to launching the ability to use your Aeroplan points be able to use your Aeroplan points to travel on Air Inuit. And that's something that we look forward to introducing before the end of this year.
It's exciting. If I remember correctly, it's just some technical limitations you're working through right now on that?
Well, so, it really is. It's something that we've just begun testing right now. We need to have an interline ticket agreement with Air Inuit. That's something that is in current progress.
Awesome.
And once that's in place, the redemption agreement or the ability to redeem will come right after that.
Awesome. So yesterday we started in Montreal, flew from Montreal to Cujuac. I will butcher all these names, so you're going to have to keep correcting me. On one of two 737-800 combis?
In the world.
In the world.
So Air Inuit was the first airline in the world to reconfigure a 737-800. Into a combi configuration, and they're the ones that shepherded it through the certification with Boeing and ultimately through certification with Transport Canada.
Wow, that's amazing. And once you go into these communities, you understand why. Like, this is the lifeline. Like, we've done the milk run in Alaska. We've done, at different times, we've done the island hopper. And we've even, in foreign excursions, Greenland was the last one we did. But these communities are more remote than anything I've seen.
Yes, I would agree with that. Each community has somewhere between, I think on the lowest end, it was about 850. And on the highest end, it was about 2,400, 2,500.
Yeah. And Air Inuit were amazing hosts. We met people at every stop we made. We had someone chaperoning us for the entire journey. Phil, the station manager in Cujuac, showed us around, was telling us that they basically get one ship a month for 3 months in the summer of supplies. And that's it. Anything else comes on Air Inuit throughout the year.
That's right. So talk about being the lifeline. Not just in terms of being The only way to access some of these communities that are not connected in any way by roads, there really is not any sort of ferry service between these destinations, really. The only way to get between them is on Air Inuit. And then, you know, on top of that, as you mentioned, you know, when you consider, you know, when you consider, you know, provisions, cargo, literally anything you'd want or need to have, chances are it's coming in on an Air Inuit aircraft. Again, unless it's something that's larger and less time sensitive that can wait for one of the three, ships that shows up, you know, throughout the year.
Right. And a lot, apparently they get fuel as well separately, but again, only in the summer.
Only in the summer.
So they got to stock up for the whole winter.
Yeah.
But we saw those, we learned that they have empty barrels that they fill with jet fuel to put on little turbopops to move them around to these fishing villages and what have you, so they can fuel remotely to get back.
It's
an operation.
It's an operation. It is a complex logistics operation that is, you know, that Air Inuit has just truly turned it into an art form. It's just unlike anything I've ever seen.
I don't think anyone else could do it.
No. No.
I mean, it was amazing. Kujiak was also our last paved runway until we got back onto the other side, the Hudson's Bay side, on our last stop with Air Inuit.
That's right. That's right. So we took the Ungava Bay route up. They have two networks, if you will, that kind of converge and come together at Saluit at the very tippy top of Nunavik. And to get up to Saluit, you can either go via the Ungava Bay route, or you can go up through the Hudson Bay route. So we went up. We took an abbreviated version up the Ungava Bay route yesterday. And then today we took a really fun way back on the Hudson Bay route with a combination of multi-stop Dash 8 flights and a connection to this amazing aircraft that we're on right now.
Oh, yes. I mean, what amazed me was how much Air Inuit does for their staff, right? Every stop we went to, we were shown where the staff, they have staff houses where all of the staff get to, they put them up. They have chefs that come in that cook for them. The staff, the large portion of the staff isn't even local. They do rotations.
That's right. So, you know, many of the staff are, you know, 2 to 3 weeks on and then 2 weeks off, where they will, you know, ultimately go back down south to, you know, to where they live, whether it's in Montreal or Quebec, or we even met someone that lives, you know, that commutes all the way back to Newfoundland.
Yeah.
When they're off. But boy, you touched on something. I mean, this airline has a culture that I think would make any other airline blush. You know, you consider how important people are and how important culture is to running an airline successfully. It all very much comes together and connects for me the way that Air Inuit is so successful and at what it does is because of the people that are powering it from in front and behind the scenes. It's quite amazing. They are a family, and you can tell.
Oh yeah, I mean, they doesn't matter what the job is, anyone will do it, right? You could be a pilot, you'll help load bags, you'll help unload bags, right? Like people were didn't matter.
That's right. There's definitely no hierarchy. There's everybody enjoys each other's company genuinely, authentically, and they all have tremendous respect for each other. And again, that shows you know, not only in the way that they treat each other, but it shows the way that they treat their customers and the way that they do their jobs.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the staff spent so much time together, they built this camaraderie. They go out, like we went out with a bunch of them last night.
That's right.
Saw the sights.
We saw the sights. We saw Saluit. We missed the caribou, but we saw a good chunk of Saluit, and it was quite special.
Yes, and we did avoid getting broken down.
Yes. Yes. There is a broken down truck at the top of a hill in Saluit. I promise you, we had nothing to do with that.
No. It happened after they dropped us off.
Truly just was a mechanical failure. Glad it wasn't.
Yes, exactly. This adventure's gone much better than our last one.
Yes, yes. Still mad at Greenland.
Yeah. there's no airport that just got shut down as you're headed to the airport in the morning.
Oh, no, it was wonderful. That's what makes these trips so special is, that you never know what's waiting for you around the corner.
No.
We got very lucky weather-wise this trip.
Weather was amazing. It's seasonably warm.
Seasonably warm, my goodness. I think the lowest that we found was in the low 60s, but for the most part, it was in the 70s and low 80s.
And that was in the evening, yeah. Right? Like, I remember looking at the forecast last week. I'm like, oh, it'll be in the 50s. Got to bring a coat.
That's right.
Brought a coat.
Unseasonably warm is, I think, the way it was characterized. I think it, I saw, actually, one of the locals was holding up an ice pack his face, saying he missed the cold. That was really special.
It's too warm today.
It's too warm today.
The thing that amazed me was just the natural beauty of the region.
Yes, it was green, and it's just, rugged landscape beating. Crystal clear waters, just really beautiful.
A lot of rock,
and lots of fjords. Like, some of these flights were like flying tours of, fjords. It was just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
One more gorgeous than the next.
It was breathtaking, and I was commenting on this yesterday. Like, I wish more people could see this, but if more people could see it, it wouldn't be as nice.
That's exactly right. It's just very special. I hope some of you listening have an opportunity to experience it firsthand. It's a true adventure, and there's a lot to take away. Not to mention the sheer charm and friendliness and resilience of the people of Nunavik themselves.
What was
very welcoming to us at every contact.
Not just that. The thing that amazed me was there's no division.
No.
Right? Like, in our day-to-day lives, we see a lot of division amongst the people. There is none of it here. Everyone just helps each other.
That's right.
And takes care of each other.
Yes, you could tell.
And it's kind of refreshing.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. Refreshing indeed.
Let's see. What else did we learn? There's no cell service.
Oh, yes.
After we left Montreal, we did not get any cell service until we got back to La Grande, which was our last stop.
That's exactly right. Again, these little things that there's plenty of things that we take for granted. Like, I think you were mentioning earlier, it's not like if something breaks, you could just go down to the hardware store. It's like you are maybe at best days away from getting that replacement, whatever it is that you need.
Yep.
My goodness. You just take so many different things for granted, including the ability just to use your cell phone.
Yeah, it was wild. I mean, the other thing I find interesting is how much the towns and the community does for the people, right? Water and sewage is just provided by the town, as the heating fuel is. So every house has at least two lights, a blue one and a red one.
That's right. That means either something is empty or something is full.
Blue means water is empty and we need more water delivery. Red means we have sewage that needs to be picked up.
That's right.
Some houses also have orange, which means they need heating fuel.
That's right.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, they have a system that works.
Yes, they do.
Fascinating. I mean, but I can't thank Air Inuit enough for doing this for us. What's next?
What's next? Oh, my goodness. By the way, like... I don't think this is a one and done. I could totally see ourselves doing this again sometime. I kind of want to see it in the winter. There's the Pavernatuk winter festival that looks to be really incredible. There's dog sled races. There is going up to Kwaktak in November for the beginning of whale hunting season.
There's a lot of options.
In all cases, be sure, if you're going to go up, to book a room at the co-op hotel. Because in each location, there is a co-op hotel, and that is the only option to stay.
Yes, there is. You don't have a Hyatt or a IHG property. No. You got one.
That's right. And it was lovely, too. Like,
oh,
yes. They were great. They had their own kitchens.
They had air conditioning.
It was wonderful.
And there's no restaurant.
Yes. There's no restaurant. Look, this is not a place that you could just kind of show up without a plan.
Yeah, so...
So
the way the hotel works, like the hotel has a kitchen, a communal kitchen, full kitchen. And the intent is that you go buy your food at the grocery store, cook where when you need. Which was amazing. But the, as we learned, a lot of what was, a lot of the folks at the hotels were people come up to work.
That's right.
Like they're That's doing right. a 2 to 3 week rotation and then they go back.
That's right. Sometimes if you're in, you know, if you're in the services business, sometimes your employer has a house that they own there that you'll live in. And sometimes that's not the case, in which case you'll be staying in one of the co-op hotels.
Yeah.
So they do fill up.
And co-op is also the grocery store and the Walmart equivalent.
It is.
It is a general
Walmart,
store.
It's Canadian Tire. It is.
No, it's not Canadian Tire.
Oh, no. That yeah, means something different. But yes. It's an inside joke that you only get when you go up.
So Canadian Tire, you touched on something. If you've not been to Canadian Tire, it is an experience.
I would say that is indeed the case, and leave it at that.
Yes. I would start with go to Canada, into the major cities, and go find a Canadian Tire. Wander it, experience it, and then we the gateway to the Canadian Tire of the North.
Indeed.
First time I took my nephew to Canadian Tire, we went to Canada. I'm like, oh, you have to see Canadian Tire. I took him in, and he's like, I don't know what to make of this place.
Yeah, it's like Bed Bath & Beyond and your local Firestone like came together.
Yes.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like a smaller Walmart. With yes. a Bed Bath & Beyond, with a auto parts
yeah,
store.
Yeah, like a Sears Automotive attached to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the most bizarre combination of things.
But it just works. Yeah.
Clearly, they are a very large company in Canada. I think we've had a great adventure. I appreciate you for putting this together.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Can we not talk about this airplane that we're flying right now?
Oh, we forgot about that, didn't we?
Oh, my gosh.
So we are on a 737-200 Combi.
A flying history museum.
No, but it's not just any Combi. It's one that it can be adjusted to full passenger or cargo.
That's right. Now, the reason why, it's not like Air Inuit has been flying this airplane for decades. They've actually took delivery of this not too long ago, a little over 10 years ago. It was just because of increasing demand and increasing needs for a cargo lift up to the north and passenger demand to the north. And, to meet those demands, the airline brought in jets. Not every airport that has the high demand also has an asphalt runway. And so these are still gravel runways in many cases up in the north, except for a couple.
Two.
Except for two, Cujuac and Lagrange.
And they, as we were learning, it's very hard to do asphalt runways because of the permafrost.
That's right. So underneath them is permafrost. So look at something that I would say, Air Inuit is at the bleeding edge of it in terms of their involvement in helping create a runway refurbishment program. And Bavernatuk that is sustainable and that can ultimately accommodate the more modern jets that Air Inuit's bringing into its fleet, whether it's the 737-300s, the 737-800 Combis. But currently those aircraft cannot service that airport because of their gravel strips. And it's really only the 737-200 that are equipped with these special gravel kits that prevent gravel from being ingested in the aircraft's engines, which obviously is not a good thing.
And they're not complicated systems.
They're not complicated systems, but my gosh, they've been serving gravel, gravel stripped communities for decades now quite successfully. In the case of Bavernatuk, it's no exception.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's quite functional and quite necessary for Air Inuit to continue operating this aircraft. You would really never know it was, such an old aircraft by coming into it because you come in the aircraft. It's got beautiful leather seats, are nicer than any seats that you would find on a modern day narrow body. There's onboard streaming entertainment. I mean,
But that's even on the Dash 8s.
Even on the Dash 8s, they had onboard streaming entertainment. Not to mention fast free Wi-Fi on the 737 Dash 800s. But, you know, my goodness. This is this kind of harkens back to some of the best days of flying as that we can remember back from when we were kids. You know,
God.
Very you know, plush leather seats with really good padding, hot meals,
legroom,
warm baked on board cookies. Like, I don't even know that I was able to enjoy that very much in the 80s. Like, this is truly truly unique.
A little slice of Midwest special. Express.
Just a little. A little bit of Midwest Express care, eh?
Yeah.
That's right. Anyway, really, really special. For those of us that are av geeks wanting to get, you know, one more ride on this fantastic, you know, workhorse of an aircraft, there's just no better way in the world to do it.
Well, I mean, so we, because it is, can be a full passenger plane, we saw when they opened the combi door open.
Oh, yeah. There were the bins.
The bins of the passenger service units were there. That's just wild.
It's just wild. Very special.
And I think, was it you that was saying that 70% of the 737-200 combi fleet is based in Canada?
Well, so, yes. Yes. And in fact, you know, these are, I think the Air Inuit 737-200s are like the last ones in regularly scheduled commercial service that you can actually buy a ticket on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This is it. If you haven't checked this one off your list, you're going to have to come out and do it here. And, boy, it's going to be a real treat for you when you do.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think we've covered a lot of territory here. I look forward to an Air Inuit Part 2 someday. This is a real special treat. And I'm so glad to be able to do this with you, Foz.
Oh, I'm glad I was able to join you, even though I had a very rocky start.
You did so good.
Saturday evening, because we were starting on Sunday, I get a notice from Air Canada that they've canceled my flight to Montreal. So everything got into flux, unfortunately, but we were able to make it work.
You found your way to LaGuardia on minimal sleep, and you powered through like a real trooper.
Yes, I made it through, and it was well worth it.
Definitely well worth it. Cheers to that.
Indeed. Well, Scott, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you so much, Foz.
Thanks.
Bye, everybody.
Take care.